Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and we're going to continue on helping you contractors and affiliates grow your business by connecting the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. And how we're going to do that today is we're going to talk all things drones. They are a powerful new tool that contractors use to improve logistics, communicate better with clients, and do their job more efficiently. It's not just a tool for large GCs, but contractors of any size and scope can benefit from them. Contractors can start leveraging this technology now with just a little guidance and education from a qualified source. And so that's the message I want to convey to you today. And we went out there and we're super stoked to have Dr. Joe Burgett from Clemson come in. And he's going to talk about how this is going to benefit through a comprehensive online drone course that he offers through Clemson University and gives contractors all the tools they need to use drones legally, safely, and profitably. The course covers all the essential skills contractors need, including the Part 107 exam, flight skills with a cutting-edge simulator, and getting more from your data than just a pretty picture. So we're going to learn all about his story and what led him to this course there. So we're going to be building off our episode with Matthew Bird. We're now diving into the specifics of drone surveying and modeling, so how you can leverage this technology and why you should. So the idea is all these different tools that we're all about, these new technology tools, but not just talking from pretty pictures and video games. We want to hear it from the perspective of a general contractor that turned academic. So let's get in. Get to know Mr. Joe, Dr. Drone Burgett, his story that led him to his course and what he's got going over at Clemson University. Lock and load, let's go fly with the drones and fly high with Mr. Joe Burgett. What's your favorite beverage?
Okay, so I'm gonna have to answer this in twofold. As a working professional and contractor, I have to go with a 15-year Glenlivet's French Oak Barrel Scotch. That's my beverage at night. But as a proud Floridian who grew up in Florida, I am an avid consumer of Florida home squeezed orange juice, the kind of stuff that when you're sick as a kid, your mom gives you a half gallon tub of it, sends you out in the yard for 30 minutes to bake in the sun, and if you had a cold before, it's gone. That recipe will regrow a limb.
Awesome. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Well, I mean, I travel a lot as a kid growing up in the West, but again, now that I've got a family and kids, going back home in Florida is a big deal. I live in South Carolina now, so going back home in South Florida, the West Palm Beach, Boca Raton area, we go there a couple times a year, and that's always a family treat.
Outstanding. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos that we're going to talk about breaking down today that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah. Well, obviously, drones are a big thing, not just for work, but just for fun that I enjoy doing. But on kind of the opposite spectrum of that, I really enjoy being outside and nature, I'm just kind of fascinated with just how nature works. I enjoy like gardening and hardscapes with koi ponds and, kind of watching that from my backyard.
Outstanding. Well, we're excited to go down this journey and talk about drones from high level and get into the weeds a little bit as well. But let's start off by, what is your story of being a general contractor that you turned into a tenured professor?
Yeah. So as I said, I grew up in Florida and I kind of followed a very traditional path for contractors to go build the big buildings. I went to the University of Florida and I got a degree in building construction. And I left there and I worked in the industry for about 10 years or so building, kind of larger commercial work, hotels, hospitals, biomedical research, courthouses, that sort of thing. Did that for about 10 years throughout most of most of Florida, and then again, a lot of it in South Florida. And then did that for 10 years, enjoyed it. I mean, as you know, when construction gets in your blood, it really doesn't get out. But I wanted to switch gears a little bit and start teaching, kind of start passing on some of the things that I had learned to the next generation of builders. And I really enjoyed research, kind of stepping back and looking at problems, and not necessarily like theoretical, like building the next best mousetrap, but kind of using existing tools and technology to make my life easier and make my fellow, you know, contractor's life a little easier. And so after that, went back to school, I went back to the University of Florida, got my master's and PhD there. And then after I graduated about 8 years or so ago, I came up to Clemson University, and I teach in our construction science and management department here, a wide range of classes, mechanical, electrical, plumbing classes, but also, of course, drone classes.
All right. So you teach multiple classes, but drones is one of the main things we're going to talk about that you offer at Clemson. And so what are some of your most important lessons learned from your early days as a general contractor that you've been able to translate into your teachings at Clemson?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different tiers there again. So I love my Clemson students. I love them to death. They're millennial students, right? So you have to kind of do the blocking and tackling stuff. And you know, a deadline is a deadline. You know, when a due date means that's when it is due. That's not the day you do it on, you know. So there's, you know, things like that I try to embark on the students. But from a high level, if there's one thing that maybe I failed when I, you know, when I started the industry that I really try to put on our students is that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's in this business that's complicated. You know, if a contractor tells you they have to do it a certain way because that's what the National Electrical Code tells you, you know, that can be intimidating, and you might just be tempted to say, oh, well, okay, if that's what the code says, and just move on. But if there's one thing I put on the students is it's okay not to like know everything, but never feel like you can't know it. Everything is knowable. You just maybe need to just back away and go back in the trailer and look it up. But there isn't anything out there that you can't figure out, you know, and be humble about it, but don't be afraid to go back in the trailer, educate yourself on it, and then we'll go right back out in the field and get some clarification, make sure that you're doing by right for your company and your client.
I love that. And one of my mentors, who is the executive director of the Art of Construction, Matt McMullen, who's a lifelong learner and what we're all about here in the Art of Construction tribe, he always talks about that when we're working with students, it's that question that you didn't ask, and get them humbling to say, just keep asking questions. And it's okay if you don't know the answer, but it's making sure you don't, that question that you didn't ask that causes problems in construction is what can get us all in trouble, right? So I love those lessons that we got to be keeping telling ourselves. But I want to tell us more as we're setting the stage here about why you decided to place your emphasis on drone work in construction, and what benefits do drones bring to construction projects?
Yes, that's a really good question. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that I didn't first get into it, because there's a 10-year-old boy inside me that thinks, wow, drones are like really, really cool. But yeah, and that's part of it. But then it quickly evolves into more than that. And really where the genesis of this is when I was a contractor, as you and your audience knows, you know, you're going from fire to fire to fire, and it's really hard to have the time to be able to zoom out 1,000 feet and look for process improvements, ways we can do this this business better. And, you know, there are tons of studies out there that if you look at construction versus manufacturing and other industries, we're not keeping pace. We can do this better. We can do it better like other industries are doing. So, you know, now that when I made the transition out of the construction industry, out of the fire, so to speak, and into academia, I have a new perspective. I don't have those same fires. So I was able to zoom out, look at my profession, look at my industry, and say, okay, we can do this better. And there's lots of different ways of doing, you know, quote unquote, this better. But drones are a new tool. You know, they're not the tool for everything. They're not the solution for everything, but they are a valuable tool that can get you better data and let you make better decisions. And that's ultimately what the technology is about, is giving better information so that you, your clients, your trade partners can make better decisions in the field.
All right. So you got the stage is set. I love your thing about the 10-year-old kid of this technology. The fact that you like can fly this, like we're all into hobbies, right? Like, or like flying planes and little things to where you can bring that fun kitty. But now you put this camera on that and you can bring back this data, right? So I would love for you to say what type of projects are best suited for drone work. And then can you talk about, so if we're saying, okay, I want to be a kid in a candy store, but can owning and using a drone give you a competitive edge when trying to win jobs? Because one of the key things that I'm always trying to really listen and learn when we get to bring influencers like Joe into Studio AOC is to say, we really have to turn these video games into real handshakes. So what's your take on that, Joe?
Okay. So again, a good point. I guess we'll start off with the question is what kind of jobs, can drones benefit from? So obviously drones are flying outside. So if you're doing a remodel job, that's all interior, it probably isn't a good tool for that. But if you're doing something that involves an outside environment, whether it be underground utilities, site work, new construction, you know, skin work, shell, you know, any of that stuff, it's a good tool for that. The other thing is, and I'll talk about this maybe later on in the podcast here, but the overall investment is fairly low. The equipment cost has gone, you know, way, way down where you can get a pretty high efficient drone for $1,500, $2,000, and it gives you more than just that picture. You know, there's other data that's in there, altitude and you know, the GPS location. And where that becomes into play is when you start bringing that into software. That, by the way, this software and these tools, these are not things that you need to have an electrical engineering degree for, or that you need to be a techie, or that this is not CAD. This is not BIM. You can use drones to really support your business without a large background in it. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the messages that I try to bring up in my online ClemsonDrone.com class, is that class is designed for regular contractors, people who are good at building buildings. You know, that's the class for you. And you can do it. Kind of going off the point earlier before is there isn't anything magic about this. You know, these are, you know, there are, all this is knowable things that any contractor can do and start taking advantage of it. And when I say taking advantage of it, really, again, it goes back to data. And I'll talk through some more use cases here shortly, but getting better images, better, being able to communicate better with your clients and your trade partners, knowing your site better and being able to quantify specific materials and aspects of your site, and just basically knowing the environment better so you can make better decisions.
I love it. So we're going to fly that drone. We flew it up 100,000 feet and say, it's only going to cost me $2,000 to get that baby in the air and say, let's get after it. So now can you walk us through the specific applications and benefits of drone? And I really want you to highlight on the different stages of a project, because I think we have to really understand you're capturing these moments in time. So our AOC architectural team and our marketing team, led by Scott Hicken and Matt McMullen, we've learned how do you really tell the story and capture the right moments in time to be able to put this whole project together when we talk about before, during, and after construction. What's your take on that, Joe?
Yeah, so a good question. I might push back a little bit on that 2,000 feet up in the air. That might be a little higher than the FAA lets you do it. But
I knew I was going to get some pushback there. What is the because that is one of the real like Joe, in all seriousness, it's like taking these video games. You're now putting them in the air. That has a whole nother regulation, right?
Right. Sure. Yeah. And we'll talk through that shortly, but you do need to have a license. There are some rules that the FAA put out, but the high level summation is they're very common sense. You need to know them, but 400 feet in the example before is how high that you can go above, which is very common sense and very, you know, we'll get you your data. But going back to your question there, like what are the use cases? So again, I mean, you know, I was a business owner, your audiences are in this business. They're always looking for the ROI. You know, they're not looking for a video game. They go home and play video games. This is a tool. So what, you know, how do you use this tool to make money? Ultimately, that's what it's about, and do your job safer and better and provide a better product. So I like to kind of think of them, you know, and I'll highlight the different stages as well, but I like to think of it as kind of as an increased sophistication in their use. So at the end of the day, I almost hate saying it this way, but a drone is a flying camera. It's more than that, but it can be that low. That's the lowest use case, but there can be really, really useful to capture really amazing marketing videos. All right, marketing videos and marketing still images. So they can be used to showcase your projects. That's the lowest hanging fruit. That's its base use case that you can do. You take it over the air, take some pretty pictures, and I don't mean to demean that. There's value to that with your marketing material, but that's lowest case. Moving up a notch is using them to improve your inspection process. So, you know, you can use your drone, and there's software available for free that you will take control of your drone, capture hundreds of images of your site, and then they can be used for documenting your site and used for inspection purposes. All right, so you can look at those images and zoom in. The next layer to inspect work in real time, where you can have the drone flying 400 feet in the air, you know, and watching a roofer or someone who's flying precast welding those connections, where you can't get the superintendent there to physically watch them, but you can park a drone 400 feet in the air and see everything in granular detail what they're doing. The next layer beyond that is you can then broadcast that out off-site. So you might have, if you're doing, you know, if it's a roofing inspection or something, and it's a little unsafe to have a whole bunch of inspectors on the roof while they're slopping hot mud or tar or whatever, you can park that drone, inspect everything. If you got a thermal camera, you're capturing the temperature of that, broadcast that out to a consultant who is a roofing consultant, and they may be on the other side of the country, but that's another step saying, okay, Mr. or Mrs. Owner, not only are we proud of our product, we're live streaming us installing it and having experts in the field observe it, or the owner's going to be observing it. So, you know, again, next higher level. And I mentioned thermal imagery. Those are pretty common now for drones, and that opens up a whole new level of quality control where you fly a drone around a building. And again, it's a tool. You can have a handheld, you know, camera and do a lot, but the drone gives you a better vantage point for gaps in insulation on multiple floors up. You can find water behind EFIS or other siding. Roofing leaks, you know, when that water evaporates, it cools down that spot. So you can find those leaks, you know, a lot quicker. I've had contractors get really inventive, and they actually use it to determine if all of the cells and blocks are filled with grout. Because if they're hollow, there's not as much mass. So on a warm summer day and they start warming the block, empty cells will heat up faster. And you can see where you don't have grout that's in contact with your rebar going through those cells. Or windows. I mean, you've seen those high-dollar argon-filled glass pane windows. What happens when the argon, you know, leaks? You know, it's invisible. You wouldn't be able to see it, but you got a flying drone around your building, and it's doing thermal imaging. You can spot a window that's got the argon gas leaked out like that. I mean, so super useful in that case. The next level of sophistication, where we've had a lot of contractors find a lot of value, is doing overlays. So they're going to get a set of drawings, right? PDF, I mean, drawings. And what they can do is take the drone, fly it at 400 feet and take an image going straight down, and then overlay the PDF file and see, hey, are those footings in the right spot? Or, hey, is that tree that we were supposed to save, is it in the right spot? And everything I'm talking about, it is, this is stuff that is right out of the box. It does not require, you know, a lot of training to do.
Are you saying, the plans don't always match what's on site?
As hard as that is to believe, and I'll tell you one thing here too. I mean, this is a real example where you're talking about pre-construction. A job was being bid out to three contractors, and one of the contractors flew the drone ahead of time, and there was a tree on the site that was supposed to be saved. It was this nice tree, an oak, big, beautiful oak. And it was shown on the drawings, but it was located 10 feet off. And it didn't interfere with the location of the building, but it pushed that tree about 10 feet close to the building. And if they had actually built, you know, when they excavated the foundation, very high probability that it would have killed that tree. And that customer, that client, went to the owner. They were still bidding it. And they said, hey, look, you know, we're still bidding this job. But you ought to be aware of this and talk about building trust with your clients, where you can bring that intelligence, to the site way before they're actually even built.
So much gold there. And I think if you break it down to what you're talking about is connecting the field to the office and actually being able to make audibles before it's done, right? So this camera can go up and save the two things we don't have enough of, time and money. And that's what you're talking about, because that's really what these new digital tools do, is they put the right leaders of the tribe in the right place of connecting the field to the office. Because you're talking about thermal bridging and inspectors that could be all over the globe. Those are different experts, right? And that's what these tools do, is allow the experts to be better experts of what they do, and connecting the art with construction, right? And so I really want to pare down and reiterate back to, I loved how you mentioned earlier on the ROI, right? And so, like you had mentioned, I think I heard $1,500 to $2,000 investment, right? So that the monetary, but back to the time, you know, you offer this class, but how much does it cost to own, but also operate the drone? Like, what are the hidden costs? There's just buying a camera,
right?
And then kind of that ROI, how immediate do you see that is through this class that you offer with people doing that?
Sure. So, you know, really good question. I get this one a lot too, is like, okay, selling me on the value of the data is usually the easy part, because with one model that you send to the owner and they fall in love with it, or that one image, or, you know, taking that drone up to the master bedroom level and say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Owner, this is what you're going to see every morning. You know, it's kind of hard to quantify in dollars, like what's that's worth, but everyone sees the value to it. All right. The nice thing about when you do ROI investments with construction and drones is that the return is there, the investment is low, and it's easy, and that's easy to quantify. So the short answer to your question, Devin, is if you want a good program, if you want a good drone, a good program capturing good data and doing it the right way, my gun to my head type of answer is $6,000. That's what it takes. I want to break that down though. All right. First thing, the equipment, the drone itself, buying a DJI Mavic or Phantom that's got a good camera on that, good smarts in it, safe, well-proven equipment, extra batteries, a case, $2,500. That buys you the equipment. About that, hopefully here in a minute. An FAA license, that's $100. All right. You don't have to, but I strongly recommend contractors have insurance. I don't usually need to preach that much. But if you want an annual insurance policy, most of the time, you know, your insurance carrier may not carry drone insurance, but there are several good tools that are out there to buy it. And it's about in the $600 annual range for $1 million policy. I also recommend a good software package that will take your 2D drone images and convert them into a 3D model. We're seeing clients more and more expect not just aerial photography of their site, but expect a model every week. I want to spin my job around. I want to look into it. I want a 3D digital twin every week, and software can do that. And then the last thing, I do recommend training. I mentioned this before, but Clemson does have ClemsonDrone.com is the site, but Clemson University does have a drone class that I teach. It is specifically for contractors and surveyors, and it is, the intent is to take someone who does not know how to operate a drone, and in 5 weeks, get them so they are comfortable, proficient, and using their data effectively. And that's $1,500. So you add up all that, that's $6,000 for, you know, and you're in business doing it the right way.
All right. So I'm going to send the check to $6,000. Yeah. We're all in on the Art of Construction Tribe, because seriously, like, you think about that investment, like, that's a no-brainer right now if you want to separate yourself to really not – you talked about the low-hanging fruit of the marketing, but now you can actually help architects spec to secure their vision wherever you live in the art of construction.
Absolutely.
Right? So what I'm really curious about, so I'm going to invest myself, and I'm challenging you to invest, but now as a leader of the Art of Construction Tribe, Joe, what type of employee within a GC firm or whoever sees the value of this would be best suited to become your drone expert?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And again, it'll depend a little bit upon the company. So I'll tell you kind of what I generally see with contractors. Either, you know, they have like a central group where that's kind of their job and they, you know, that's not their full-time job, but maybe they support IT or some of the software. And as part of those support services, they also have a drone and a couple of pilots that will go to your site and capture the data and process it. So I see sometimes that. More oftentimes than not, I see, you know, if it's a decent sized job, you know, it doesn't even really be that big, but it's got some full-time staff on there. A young project engineer might be tasked with, hey, look, we want to dabble in drones. So we're going to use your project as our test site. Go buy a drone, go get your license, take Dr. Birgit's class, and let's see what we can do. So I see a lot of that. Specific people, the roles, I see a lot of times project engineers or assistant project managers or superintendents that just kind of have, you know, see the value and kind of want to take that initiative on. So, you know, that's kind of generally what I see in the industry.
All right, so we've teed it up. We've sent the person there. Beginning with the end in mind, what other factors do contractors need to consider if they want to begin using drones on projects? And can you share any of the common roadblocks to consider when we go down this road together?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And I have kind of my seven steps for what it's worth. And the class, the ClemsonDrone.com class, takes care of like 6.5 of them. All right, and I'll kind of unpack that in a minute.
And ooh, I hate to leave us with the half.
Yeah,
half.
Like, what is he leaving out? What is he leaving out? So, I hate to even say roadblocks because, again, going back to that original comment, everything we're going to talk about is knowable. Nothing here is you need to have a degree in it or be an engineer or regular people, contractors, a lot. I mean, we're using this stuff and these are the tools. So here are the seven things. All right, first, I alluded to this before. You do need to fly a drone commercially, you do need to have an FAA pilot's license. That scares a lot of people and it shouldn't. You can't just go in there and take it, you'll fail. You do need some prep that goes along with it. And that's one of the things that we cover in the class. But generally 2 weeks prepping, you can go in there and you can get a passing grade on your Part 107 and you can call yourself a pilot if you want. So you got it. Step two.
But I want to stop you there. That's the marketing part, right? Like, you want to separate yourself from other people's. You can market to say we have an in-house pilot. What does that mean?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be one person, here are our pilots, an individual who wants to market themselves to another company or, you know, on their resume. That's just one more accolade that, that builds value. So the other thing, so that's step one, step two or item two, not only have to pass the test, but then you actually have to follow the rules, all right? So it's not just, you actually have to do this in the real world. And where I get contractors, they get concerned because they hear things about, hey, I heard that you need to worry about airspace. And if you're flying near an airport, you know, aren't the rules different? And don't you have to request air traffic control authorization and notice to airmen? And all that sounds scary to me. And I get that, totally shouldn't be. You just need to have someone tell you, hey, look, there's an app for that. And it's free. You just go to this app and you tell them where you're going to go. And it tells you what your airspace is and tells you what you need to know. So it sounds scary, but it's not. But you do need to know that. Not a roadblock, but there is some education you need to have there. All right. Step number three, you got to learn how to fly. At the end of the day, you got to know how to actually operate the drone. And you could just buy one and take it up, and people do. What I recommend and what we do in the ClemsonDrone.com class is we use a simulator first because you need to be able to, I might be the only flight instructor that encourages students to crash because that's how you know how close you can fly to stuff. You get as close as you can and then you crash. And then next time back it off a couple inches, you know, and do that a lot.
But on the simulator, it probably doesn't cost as much as just buying equipment, right?
Right. Now, exactly. And you don't have to explain it to anybody, and you can crash. In our course, we actually, you know, the simulator is the ultimate big brother. You practice, and your results go up to our servers, and I get to look into it and see how you're doing and providing feedback and give you, you know, give it. So learning that envelope is the best way to start. Because if you take your drone up, you're going to fly not near anything out in the blue sky, and that's good, but you're not learning where how close you can fly to things. All right, so that's three. Number four, you got to learn about privacy issues. Vast more than likely, the art or the just being a good neighbor is more stringent than the actual rules. You know, there's the idea of reasonable expectation of privacy, and that it's not complicated, and it is generally very broad in favor of the drone user. But you gotta know, you gotta be aware of that. Insurance. We talked about that already. You should know about it and know what kind of risk you're assuming if you don't have it, but that's a piece. Number six, and this is an important one, you need to get more from your data than just a pretty picture. There's value there in marketing. I don't want to diminish that by any means, but good marketing, good video, that's good stuff. But you need to be able to take your drone data and create models, create point clouds, you know how to send them to people, create topo maps, orthophotos. All those are big words. Again, that sounds scary. They're not. Anyone can do it, and the software is intuitive. It is not BIM. It is not CAD. You can do it. And number seven, this is where the 6.5 or 7.5.
Oh, here we go. Drum roll.
Yeah. I mean, well, don't build up too much. Pretty anticlimactic, but you got to buy the right equipment. All right. And at the end of the day, you just have to buy it, and you should get somebody that has some advice, you know, based off of what you're going to use. A $1,500 drone might get you there. You may need a $30,000. It all depends on what you're going to do with it. And you just need a little bit of guidance there. So those are the kind of the seven steps to starting a drone program.
Outstanding, man. Great job. So tell me the format of, so you've mentioned the course a couple of times to where you've really shed the light to where it's a no-brainer if you're going to put the whole package together. But what is the format, and are there any elements to it that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah. So good. I mean, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. So again, this is an online class, and the genesis of this class is me working with contractors and the South Carolina Department of Transportation. And, you know, they say, hey, look, we want this. We see the value. Hey, Joe, can you fly it for us? And it's kind of give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish kind of thing. And that's what this class is. That was the genesis. Is I wanted to give contractors the tools to do this themselves. And there's no reason why you can't bring it in-house. The class itself is fully online, so you don't have to come here to South Carolina. It's fully online. It is designed for working professionals in mind, and it is for them. I don't know theory. I'm not trying to waste anybody's time. It's all stuff that they can use. It's offered through Clemson University's Professional Studies Program. You don't have to be enrolled in Clemson University. In fact, you know, it's a non-credit course for professionals. We have two different delivery options. One is what we call self-pace. You sign up through clemsondrone.com, and you sign up. It starts every month, and you have 10 weeks to complete the material. And it's videos and reading, and you just go through it. Or we have an instructor-led version where it's kind of an accelerated five-week schedule where I teach you. It's kind of more like a college class where the whole class goes together, and it is also offered once a month, once every couple of months. Our next class is April 5th that starts, but again, they roll out fairly frequently, at least once a month or so. We teach, the part 107. When you leave the class, you're going to have your license. You're going to know how to fly how to follow all the rules, all those tools I mentioned about airspace and whatnot. I teach you all that. You get access to our simulator. You are going to fly in the simulator a lot, and it is a good simulator. We mail you a controller, and you plug it in your computer, and it approximates the physics of 14 of those common drones. It is a good simulator. We give you access to mapping software where I give you sample data, and you're going to create maps and surveys and ground control points, and you're going to do this all yourself, learn how to do it. And really, again, the intent was to go from, I don't know how to do any of this stuff, to I feel comfortable and I can start providing value to my company in five weeks. That's kind of the plan. And for everybody, again, I'll say it again, clemsondrone.com. And I would encourage anybody who's interested to go to the site and subscribe. I post out tech tips every week, and I provide updates on the class. So it's kind of a good way to stay connected if you're interested at some point.
I love it. A five-week course to go become an art of construction pilot. Like that is, but it's not just a video game. It's the real stuff. How have you seen contractors really grow and crush it with their business after taking
this course? I mean, I don't want to oversell anything. It is a tool, but where I have seen it really make a difference is just really impress clients, where instead of getting a picture, they get a model. You know, they get to see the view. They get to see that you've done your due diligence and that you have better intelligence of their site than your competition do. Where I see value is it provides better logistics. When you're at a trade meeting with your trade partners, instead of just pouring around, you know, some PDF drawings, you got a tablet and you all are spinning around a model and zooming in and zooming out. I see a lot more confidence that people are getting, that they are paying the right invoices. If they're paying for certain quantities of material, they take the drone up and they let the software tell them, how many cubic yards of grout or of mulch did we buy? How many cubic yards of earthwork did we move? Be able to speak confidently to your owner when they're billing, as well as to their trade partners to verify the invoice that you're paying. So you have more confidence there. And again, I don't want to diminish this at all, but the marketing material that is generated from this vantage point is just breathtaking. It just gives you a much better way of showcasing the good work that contractors are doing. And it's just a better way of telling the story.
Tribe, at the end of the day, what are we all trying to do? We're all, as lifelong learners leading the art of construction, we're trying to remove the F word, fear, to have better relationships with our customers that we call the customer care wheel, that we have a whole systemized approach. When he says this is not the end all be all, he says this is an important tool in your tool belt to break down those barriers and have as much fun as possible. And really, you can now bring out the kid in you and run this control that actually does something to help you grow your business. Joe, I'm so proud of you, what you put together. And this is a really cool platform, how you've showcased to say, when we talk about connecting construction technologies to handshakes and not just from video games, like, great job putting that all together. But I want to ask you, what is your crystal ball for connecting technology to handshakes in the future of construction from your point of view, leading this amazing
movement? Yeah, so there's a lot to that question, but a couple of things that just kind of stand out to me, and everyone on the call, you know, appreciates the issue we have with labor and there just not being enough to do it. And where I see where technology as a whole can support that is to get more work product out of the labor pool. And we can try to grow the labor pool as best we can, but of the folks we have using technology, whether it's drones or augmented reality or remote equipment operation, whatever that next thing is, that's where I think technology will improve. There's a quote that's out there, and I'll butcher it, but it's something along the lines of, next to warfare, construction is the leading industry for making decisions in the absence of good information. So we hold that distinction. So if we can get better information, we can make better decisions. If we make better decisions, we all make more money. We do the job safer. We provide a better product to our clients.
As Wyatt Earp said back in the day when he was out ranging and figuring out where his drone was, when he said speed is good, but accuracy is everything. What if you could have both? And that's really what these tools can do for you, right? So as we leave this, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates thinking about to go out there and crush it and grow their business, Joe?
It's just, it would be this, guys. Drones, they're not a toy. They are a tool. There is fear associated with them just from not having that information. You can do it. Take advantage of the tool. There are low costs or low barriers to get into it. Get some help. If ClemsonDrone.com can help you, great. If not, find someplace that help you. But start using this out-of-the-box, ready-to-go technology to provide more services to your clients and make your guys' job easier and better.
Awesome. Joe, thank you so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I love listening to leaders that really have their stuff together to come in and share a systemized story What that's what this global platform is for you, Tribe, to go out there and say, how do we take the right tools and have as much fun as possible to grow our business? Go to the show notes. The link is there. I can't wait to have a bunch of pilots within the Art of Construction from this podcast. Crush it out there, Tribe.